Welcome back. 7 past the hour at Faith Radio. Well, she's Faith Radio's relationship doctor, and she recently joined us with some solid advice based on God's Word this past weekend. She's Dr. Linda Mental, the chair of the Division of Behavioral Health at Liberty University's College of Osteopathic Medicine. And if you've never heard her program on the weekend, you can catch it on both Saturday and Sunday, the Dr. Linda Mental Show on Faith Radio. Good morning, Linda. How are you? Do we have Linda?
Now I'm there. Okay. Yeah, I said good morning, and I said I was able to awaken this morning at the regular time. So I just want to say I'm in a sleep pattern. I could not sleep in during the weekend because I'm in this pattern of waking up at the same time every day. So
you are better than I am.
Sleeping in.
You are better than I am, Linda Mental.
Yeah, it doesn't happen for me.
Saturday and Sunday, man, it was like 8 o'clock, which for me is a major sleep in. So
yeah.
So now you recently did one of your shows, which I really appreciate, on red flags in relationships, and I'm so glad you addressed that topic. I have had several friends, Linda, who have ended up getting really hurt in a relationship because they didn't pay attention to red flags. Explain why it's so common for people to ignore what could be pretty clear character flaws in the early stages of a dating relationship.
Well, there's actually a neurochemical reaction that is partly responsible for that, and I'm not going to put it all off on that, but there is this thing that happens when you start to get attracted to someone. There's like a chemical cocktail that happens in the brain, and it makes us a little dumb. So what happens is we start to look at people and we go, oh, yeah, he has an anger problem. Oh, no problem. He'll probably outgrow that, or something, you know, something will change as I am in love with this person. You know, certainly I have the power to make somebody better. And we all start to kind of think that when we get in these relationships, especially when we're attracted and we really don't want to see the problems. Fortunately, we do get through that phase, and fortunately, we have friends and family and people around us that have a lot of wisdom that can help speak into our lives. So there's hope. Even if you're feeling a little bit of that chemical cocktail, you can still have some discernment based on the Holy Spirit.
You know, that that endorphin reaction you're talking about, some people say it can last anywhere from 90 days to 6 months, where we really have those rose-colored glasses on, and we're incapable of seeing some of the reality that's right in front of our face, that this person that we are so attracted to and so infatuated with may have some issues. But, you know, we're just kind of sweeping those under the rug because, as you said, that chemical cocktail, it's like a runner's high. We're just feeling buzzed all the time and in love. And I can remember that when I first started dating my wife, I was just all, oh, I was so happy all the time. And fortunately, in my wife's case, there were no significant character flaws. She is like the treasure of my life. And I feel so thankful to be with her. But on your show, you describe several red flags that singles need to pay attention to. And I'd like to spend a few minutes unpacking each one of those, because I know we have a lot of Faith Radio listeners who are either single or single again, or may have maybe a son or daughter who is single and dating somebody right now. And one of the first red flags that you mentioned is problems with communication. So what might that look like on a day-to-day basis?
Well, that one, and let me just say that these aren't just for singles. So if you're listening and you're in a relationship and you start to say, wait, that sounds like my relationship, the whole point of identifying these red flags is to say, oh, I need to get some help with that to make my relationship better. So it's always good to see them on the front end, but a lot of us get into relationships and we don't see them, and then we discover them after the fact. So there's hope. You can work on these things. You can identify them, and things can get better. So one of the basics is communication in any relationship. And if you're having problems with someone who doesn't express how they feel, they have a really difficult time talking about problems, they don't want to deal with conflict, they're not sure what they think or feel, and they're not able to express that, that's kind of a basic red flag where either that person needs a little bit more help in their communication skills, they need to work on their expression, they need to not be afraid to say what they think, take a position in the relationship. relationship. Because if you have people who don't do that, we all get very frustrated. And we say, I just want to know what that person is thinking, or I just want to know what that person wants, or please tell me what it is that you need. So looking at the communication skills, it's not a relationship, you know, deal breaker for people, but it certainly is an area of frustration that can build over time. And here's the issue, Bill, as we're talking about these, if they build over time, they begin to build up a resentment sometimes in people's relationships. And then we have an escalation in this sort of negativity that happens in relationships. And then that eventually leads to problems. So we want to identify these flags, know that they're something we can either work on or say, hey, maybe not the relationship for me. So we avoid these problems later.
Hmm. Okay, another red flag you mentioned is somebody who is unpredictable or immature. And I think it's important to remember that chronological age often has very little correlation with emotional maturity. Am I correct?
Yeah, it's true, except that we have to remember that the brain doesn't fully develop until about the age of 25. So some of that maturity is because we need a little more prefrontal cortex involved in our decision-making early on, which is one of the reasons why couples under the age of 25 sometimes make silly mistakes and do things that are not quite the best, impulsive, a little bit less judgment. But basically, you want to look at the person and say, can they actually manage life? I mean, do they have some basic skills of holding down a job, of getting to work on time, of dealing with their checkbook? And again, these are not things that we're typically thinking about when we're attracted to somebody. But in the long haul, having some basic life skills really makes a difference in that relationship, because then you're not always taking care of that person and having to fix all these things. They're partnering with you, which is what you want.
Now, you also caution about trust issues, a dating partner who you can't trust or is dishonest with you. Why is it that some people will continue in a relationship with somebody who they know has lied to them, maybe on multiple occasions?
We just have this bias. We talked a little bit about this on the show. We have this bias to want to believe the best in people. And so if somebody is, you know, somewhat contrite about maybe cheating or a betrayal or keeping a secret or doing something deceptive, you know, our tendency is to go, okay. But what I'm saying here is pay attention to that process in the relationship, because if you find that there is distrust beginning to breed, or over and over again the person is sort of apologizing but they're not making a turn in that relationship, and they continue to do things that create distrust, this trust is just the foundation of every relationship. And when you don't have faith that somebody is going to be true or be true to their word or do the right thing on a regular basis, it quickly erodes relationships. So pay attention along the way and see if that person is trustworthy with a number of areas in their life.
Mm. Our guest, Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor here on Faith Radio. We'll take a quick break and be right back with some more of those red flags you need to pay attention to. Welcome back. 18 past the hour here at the Faith Radio Network. Bill Meyer with Dr. Linda Mental, who you can hear every weekend, both Saturday and Sunday, here on the Faith Radio Network. She is the relationship doctor, and recently on her program, she talked about some of the red flags that we need to watch out for in relationships, and those could be dating relationships. They could be red flags you already see popping up in your engagement or maybe even in your marriage. And Linda, we can often, let's just talk about the potential dating partners again. Somebody has entered into a dating relationship. We can learn a lot about them, about how they describe their past relationships. What are some red flags to look for there?
One of the things that I always tell people in therapy is that you have to really dissect what happened in relationships that people have had before that have broken up, whether that's divorce, whether that's, you know, a long-term relationship that didn't end well, or even their dating habits and their patterns. And one of the reasons that's so helpful is because you can usually find a pattern in that, the type of person that that person is attracted to, what was their part in the problem. And when people don't get out of a relationship and they have good sense of what their contribution to the problem was, that is a red flag for me as a therapist. And what I try to do is get people to think about, well, have them really think, what was their part of the problem? What did they do that they could have done differently? Because none of us are perfect in a relationship. And one of the reasons we're talking about this, Bill, is because Romans 3:10 says that there's no one righteous, not even one. So we all have issues. So anyone who looks wonderful, including the person that you think is just the best, we all have issues. And the issue is whether or not we're aware of our issues and we're conscious about it and we're working on those issues. So I like to have people discuss past relationships, not in detail where you hear things you don't want to hear, but really just to get a good sense of what happened. For example, if someone says, I never could deal with an issue, I'm just really conflict avoidant. Well, they're going to be like that with you. So that should be something that you pay attention to and say, maybe that's an area we need to work on in order to go forward.
You know, when I'm talking to couples who are considering remarriage, maybe they've been divorced or they're dating somebody who's been divorced, I always often say a great diagnostic question is, tell me why your previous marriage didn't work out. Mm-hmm. And if they say, because he was the biggest jerk that ever lived, mm-hmm. that's probably fairly diagnostic. They're not taking responsibility for their own actions in the problem, the relationship.
Yeah, and this is so tough, because when you are in a relationship with someone who is divorced, of course, depending on where that person is in the divorce process emotionally, and it takes a long time to recoup from the loss of divorce, and it's an ongoing loss because that person is alive and still functioning. So one of the issues is if they're still just, really angry, or they're in blame, or they're just telling you that, like you said, all these things were wrong with this person, and they don't have a good understanding of what happened. And I know maybe this sounds a little intrusive, but I like to tell people to talk to people who knew the couple and say, what did you see in that relationship, and get another perspective. Because a lot of times the best friends or the family members can look a little bit more objectively and say, well, they did have issues. They were part of the problem. And here's what I saw that maybe you should be concerned about. And when we've done that in therapy, people have been a little bit more willing to look at their part of the problem in the divorce process and really work on that. And occasionally that has been a condition for any kind of future relationship, that the person actually work on those issues. So especially when we're talking about unresolved issues with the ex and children problems and blended families and all of these things, you need to go into those relationships with your eyes wide open to what the reality is of the problems and the depth of what might be involved in getting in that type of relationship.
Mm. Linda, one of the biggest, baddest red flags to watch out for in a relationship is someone who's controlling. Give a few examples of how a controlling personality typically manifests itself.
When you've got that person who's saying, you're spending time with your friends, why are you spending time with your friends and not with me? Or, I need to be with you, or why are you doing that? And they're constantly questioning you or telling you what to do or limiting you where you can go. This is actually one of the signs you look for in abuse often, is because abusers like to get their victims isolated. And so they don't want them interacting with other people. They want to have complete control over what they do in order to get them to do what they want. So when you see signs of that kind of control, when you start to feel uncomfortable because that person is being very directive about what you can and cannot do, I would say run for the hills on those type of relationships.
As fast as you can, yes.
Yeah, they're not going to end well.
No.
And hopefully they won't end in some kind of abuse, but you can pedal back on abuse, and people can always, in retrospect, look and go, wow, there were lots of signs of control that I missed along the way.
Mm. Now, Linda, before we go, there are some spiritual red flags that Christian singles need to pay attention to. Unfortunately, many often don't. I remember when I was single, I knew several women who would date non-Christian guys, and they were convinced that these guys would eventually come to the Lord. We called that missionary dating. Describe how those relationships typically end up.
Yeah, they don't end up well. And there's that verse in 2 Corinthians 6:14 that tells us not to be yoked together with unbelievers. And so you have the people who say, he believes in a higher power, or I'm sure I can get him saved. Oh, I know he doesn't know the Lord, but I'm sure he will. You're really betting. You're really betting on something that you have absolutely no control over. And so I would say, if you can't talk about your faith together, if you don't have that commonality, that oneness that comes with a spiritual unity, you are starting that relationship in a very rocky place. And there's no guarantee that it's going to turn out well. So we do know cases, obviously, where people meet the Lord, they're transformed, and things do work out. But boy, it's not a good idea, and especially when Scripture tells us not to go into relationships with someone who's not walking the same direction, with someone who doesn't share your faith, with someone who doesn't have a biblical perspective on problems. You know, one of the biggest deals with that, Bill, is that then you're dealing with pride with somebody who doesn't know the Lord. We all deal with pride, not just people who know the Lord or don't know the Lord. We all have pride in us. But at least when we're dealing with pride and stubbornness and problems, if you are a Christian, hopefully the Holy Spirit will speak to you and there'll be a softening of your heart and there'll be much more of an effort to look at your own behavior and ask the Lord for forgiveness and take a position of humility and the kind of love that we need to have that is only possible through the love of Christ in our life.
Oh, that's so well said, Linda. By the way, there is a great article on Linda's website, drlindamental.com, about this very issue, the red flags to look for in a relationship. Linda, thanks for your time this morning. As always, we appreciate your wisdom.
All right. Enjoy your short week.
Okay, thanks.